Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's up in Indianapolis. Her father passed away. Really sad news, and we're wishing her the best. Sean Mays behind the glass. Hate to, you know, call you out here, but listen, no. No ZZ Top now. It's Astros opening day. I have a much better song for the people. Sean's looking at me like, what the hell, dude? What? This song's so much better. I know you had some reservations about it when I showed it to you before the show. I know. But it's a banger. We want to get excited. I mean, the Astros are taking on the Angels tonight. Come on. I know you want to play it. You will not get fired for this. I know you just started as producer. It's all on me, okay? I will take the heat for this.
If that disclaimer's on there, I'm comfortable playing.
I'm telling you guys, this is the greatest Astros song of all time. I'm not sure where it's from. All I know is it's just a banger. Please,
41
play.
Likes on YouTube, by the way.
What? Well, so? It's an old song. People don't remember it. This actually has production quality. This isn't like, I remember when I was working at 610, there was this guy who used to text in. He's like, hey, Paul, play my hit Astros song, Be the Ball. And I swear to God, for 6 years, would text this in. and he would always say, great radio show today. Play Be the Ball. And I was like, no, dude, I'm not going to play that song. Instead, I'm going to play this song.
Why did they argue the umpire's call? Why did the fielders crash into walls? Why do you think the pitchers throw smoke? Why do you think they go for broke? Who says it's only a game?
War's not over till the final shot!
It's pride and glory and fame.
What's this even mean?
Who says it's only a game?
Who said this?
Why do you think they call them spikes?
I don't know.
Why do you think they call them spikes?
Also don't know.
Why do they give it more than they've got? Why do they always reach for the top? Who says it's only a game?
With me now, Astros, baseball. Who says it's only a game? I mean, is that not the greatest song you've ever heard? I remember looking up one night, looking for an Astros song, and this one came out, and the lyrics are just amazing. Okay, because it's basically like watching the game, I guess, with a significant other who's never watched baseball before, just asking you a million questions. But if they're asking you the questions like that, I mean, it's probably going to be great. Why do they argue the umpire's calls? Why do the fielders crash into walls? It's a good rhyme.
That's only for the rhyme.
It's a good one, though. Why do you think the pitch is so smoked? Why do you think they go for broke? The Astros didn't really go for broke this year because they didn't re-sign Carlos Correa, but no big deal. Why do the catchers wear iron masks? Bunch of liberal losers, am I right? Why do they die for the dive on the grass? Well, no one's dying. Calm down, lyrics. Why do they go and burst into home? Why do the losers feel all alone? Who says it's only a game? It's just questions nonstop. Then you got that like part where there's a little guitar solo in the mix of it. When you wanted to give it all you got, the war's not over till the final shot. It's fight for glory and fame. Who says it's only a game? Why do you think they call them spikes? I mean, they're spikes. You know, they're metal. Why do you think they call them strikes? That I don't know the answer to. Like a swing and a miss is a strike.
Well, he didn't actually make contact with the ball, you know, necessarily, unless it's a foul tip. Why do they give it more than they've got? Why do they always reach for the top? It's a great song, guys. I hope it's stuck in your head forever. It's stuck in mine. And this is what I do. When I have a song stuck in my head, I like to share it with everybody. Sean Mapes tweets, not Santa, "You have my permission to walk into the studio and punch Paul in the face."
Might go with the Will Smith slap.
The slap. Yeah. Can you do backhanded, please? I'll take it. This wasn't Sean's fault. Sean, I showed this to Sean before the show, and Sean was like, "I don't know, man.
It's a little bit worse than I thought it was going to be," to be honest.
Because I told him about it yesterday, and I was like, "Dude, this is the greatest Astros song
I knew
ever.
It was going to be corny, or I knew it wasn't going to be like a good song.
When you wanted to get it all you've got, the war's not over till the final shot.
That has nothing to do with baseball. That might be the only line that has nothing to do with baseball.
Remember the Alamo.
The war's not over till the... That could be in any song ever.
Come and take it. It's an amazing song. Oh, my God. anyway, we've also been having fun with the Texans Ring of Honor. Y'all are on a sarcastic heater today. Twitch.tv, and I'm just compiling the names that have been thrown into the Texans Ring of Honor. This one, I talked about, you know, Chester Pitts and D'Amico Ryans. That's actually relatively serious. But some others that we got. Ben Tate. Tate had a couple of good years. Sonic Sam Montgomery. Remember him from LSU? I'm pretty sure that Les Miles was like, "Yeah, good luck," when he got drafted. Brennan Williams, who liked anime and wrestling. Listen, it's not for everyone in the NFL. Dominique Davis. Ooh, this is a good one. Sierre Wood. Remember Sierre Wood and Willie Jefferson and they got cut? I think this was before the Texans-Chiefs game in 2013, where they were at a hotel smoking doobies, and they got kicked out for it. And Jefferson had already gotten kicked out of Baylor for doing that. And there's the thing. Jefferson actually showed some flashes, I remember, in training camp and in games. Like, I liked Willie Jefferson. Jacoby Jones is good enough to not put on this sarcastic list. But, man, some of y'all just hating. Oh, boy. What? This is a real throwback. Texans comrade says, LeStar Jean. That was a guy that during the Texans preseason, everyone was hyping up like, "Yeah, finally, Andre Johnson has a wide receiver that's just as good as him." There also was another Texans wide receiver, and I don't think this was LeStar Jean, who came into Texans training camp. And I remember I was doing the show with Fred Davis that day when we found out about it. And I think his last name was Jones. Maybe it was Mike Jones?
Who?
This Mike Jones. Nice. Good job, Sean. Took me a second. I was like, "Wait, what?" Oh, yeah. So this guy came into Texans training camp. He proclaimed he was going to be the next Andre Johnson. And then he just left like 2 days later. And I remember I did some. I was doing a weekend show over on the Texans flagship with Fred Davis, and I did a rap song about it. This was back in 2012. This is 10 years ago. Holy crap. But I remember this guy, "I'm the next Andre Johnson," literally 2 days later. "Nah, football's not for me." That happens. This is actually fairly important, potentially. Wow, Paul, that's a really weird way to break a story. Shut up. Steve Wilks and NFL assistant coach Ray Horton have joined the Brian Flores lawsuit. Steve Wilks alleges that Arizona hired him as a bridge coach without giving him a chance to succeed. Horton claims that he received a sham interview with the Titans in 2016. If Steve Wilks feels that way, David Culley should feel that way. Whether or not he was actually qualified for the job is besides the point. If Steve Wilks is doing this 100% after his 1 year with the Cardinals, where he did not have a chance, in my honest opinion, and then they replaced him with Cliff Kingsbury, of all people, David Culley's in the same boat. 100%. Did he have a chance to win here? And again, I didn't want him next year. I don't have a problem with the Texans moving on from him. But in this situation, wouldn't you join in? Why not? What do you have to lose? Are you going to lose the money that the Texans pay out? Maybe there is some sort of stipulation that you can't sue them. But, I mean, you've gotten your retirement money for whatever, what, $20 million or so on this contract. It's not like the Texans shortchanged him necessarily, but they definitely didn't give him a fair chance. They gave him 1 year with a team that had Tyrod Taylor under center, or Tyrod, I forget which way to pronounce it, going into the season. And then it was Davis Mills. And I mean, who else can you name on the roster? Brandon Cooks and Justin Reed, who they wanted to suspend for some reason. I feel like David Culley might be next in line as part of this lawsuit against the NFL and against some of these other teams that supposedly were discriminating against Brian Flores, now Wilkes, and assistant coach Ray Horton. And I would not be surprised to see more join after that, including a David Culley. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5. Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family. This is a pretty interesting dynamic that the Astros have had over the years that I'm wondering if another baseball team needs to seriously reevaluate. We'll talk about it next right here. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her family after her father passed away. We were looking forward to getting her back, but thinking about her and her family. Love this song. But something depressing I found out during my brief stint in Seattle, apparently Eddie Vedder was full of it. Like Eddie Vedder was trying to be about that grunge lifestyle, but wasn't actually about that grunge lifestyle. So that song about corduroy, about a jacket that he saw at a store, it was a corduroy jacket that he saw being marked up for like $300 or something when his only cost $10 and was had at a thrift store. At least that's what he told us. There's some doubt as to the veracity of his true grungeness. And my old co-host, Danny O'Neill in Seattle, used to make fun of him because he would refuse to speak to the media as if like this sort of made him part of grunge. So they would end every single article that they wrote that would have nothing to do with Eddie Vedder. Eddie Vedder was reached out to for comment, but could not speak at this time. They just would end every article with that as a bit. So if you're a grunge person, Nirvana's authentic and Eddie Vedder's kind of full of it, but Pearl Jam's still a good band. It's fine. You know, like you don't have to be from the block like Jenny, you know, to make your music legit. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I've got. Y'all are being vicious when it comes to the Texans Ring of Honor. And I'm trying hard not to laugh at some of these, but good God, they are just mean. Braxton Miller. Remember when Bill O'Brien got pissed off about him doing a flip into the end zone? Oh, my God. And it's coming off the heels of Whitney Mercilus retiring because someone asked the question, should Whitney Mercilus be in the Texans Ring of Honor? The answer is no. He shouldn't. We should remember his career. He played 10 years for the Texans, but it's sort of the same line that I'll remember Jonathan Joseph. In fact, I'll remember Joseph higher. Joseph is one of my favorite players on this team, and I'd love to have him on for an interview someday. I heard he's trying to get into media, so that'd be great. Tough-ass guy. But Ring of Honor, we're really talking elite company here. We should be. We're really talking about the best of the best. I suppose because it's so empty right now, you're tempted to throw a lot of things up there. But no, you don't put everything up on the top shelf. You don't put your Barton's vodka up on the top shelf with whatever the fanciest vodka you get is. I would assume that the fanciest vodka there is Gallant vodka, which is the real thing. Endorsement opportunities? Possibly you. A text, 713-780-ESPN. Don't forget the great Benny Joprue, Texans Ring of Honor. Oh, my God. On Twitch, I was told that the wide receiver that I remembered, who said he was the next Andre Johnson and then retired a couple of days later, was Dwight Jones. I knew it was like Mike Jones because I did essentially a rap song to the tune of "You'll Never Catch Mr. Jones." I forget what the lyrics were. It was a really stupid song, I'll have you know. Just like that Astros song that we played. Some positive feedback for said Astros song. En Fuentes Respector, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Jesus Christ, what the hell? This one's the worst one, because a lot of the song is just asking questions. Why don't they smell their fingers after they adjust themselves? That's a good question. I don't know. Because the whole song is essentially, why do they call them iron spikes? Another couple. I'll remember this one. I remember this one. I've heard worse. I want to do some. Oh, boy. You can't say that. That's illegal with this song playing. You can't say that. Another person says, this is En Fuentes Respector again. This has Push Me to the Limit vibes. What a great song that is, right? Ever watch Scarface? Push it to the limit. Oh, damn, my voice is cracking. Not going to be able to do karaoke this weekend. Standing on the razor's edge. We got a tiger over there and there's a mountain of cocaine. Good movie. First time I watched it, I was intoxicated and I thought it was Godfather Part 3. I was like, why is Michael Corleone wearing Hawaiian shirts and a dishwasher all of a sudden? Man, he's really taking things seriously. I really thought it was Godfather Part 3. And then by the end of the movie, I realized it wasn't. But I thought I was watching it because I think I woke up in the middle of it and I was like, what's this? Oh, okay. We're all over the place here. This is an interesting story, and I don't know if it's true. Because Ronald Acuña seemed to deny it. But there was a tweet by GIFs Baseball about Ronald Acuña Jr. Acuña. Ronald Acuña? Did I say it right? He was on Instagram Live last night, and per Baseball GIFs and a bilingual Braves Redditor, and confirmed by apparently multiple people who speak Spanish, he won't miss Freddie Freeman, now off to the Los Angeles Dodgers. They had friction. Freeman didn't care when Acuña was plunked. He was overbearing, and he wasn't someone that Ronald felt he could talk to ever. Well, Acuña tweeted this afterwards saying, I never say that, clown emoji, clown emoji, clown emoji. But the tweet has not been taken down. And it does make me wonder just about clubhouse dynamics, whether this is true or untrue. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I didn't go back and listen. My Duolingo Spanish speaking is pretty limited at this point in time, no matter how hard I try. So I look at this story and I think about the Astros clubhouse, because one of the cool dynamics of this team is that despite having a variety of different cultures in it, they have always felt together, as opposed to a clubhouse with a bunch of different cliques. Because you've got a bunch of Latin players. You have had Asian players over the course of your time here. Not many, but... And you've had white players, too. You've had black players. It's a interesting dynamic, baseball clubhouses. Because it's one of those sports where you're with each other for a long period of time, but there are some teams, I believe it was the 1986 Red Sox, who were described as 25 cabs home from the stadium. Like, none of them came home together. But this team, and I don't know if it's quite what it was when George Springer and Correa were here. It's obviously changed over time. But I remember in 2015 and 16 and 17, there was a real feeling of closeness throughout the entirety of the clubhouse. And, you know, just seeing how close Lance McCullers and Carlos Correa clearly are. Where, you know, Lance McCullers is, if I'm not mistaken, the godparent of Carlos Correa's kid. Like, there was a bond that was built here that I feel like deserves a lot of credit. And whether that was Jose Altuve, who was making everybody come together in that way, hell, I guess you could maybe make an argument for Carlos Beltran or Brian McCann when they were here. I know some people don't want to hear it with Beltran, but there was a unity to this clubhouse that you do not see in many places. And I feel like it does deserve a lot of credit. It is opening day for the Houston Astros. We might have to play that song one more time before we hit the road. Sean Mapes is like, no, Paul, geez, don't. Okay, fine. Maybe not today. Maybe another day. Maybe whenever the Astros win a significant game, we can do that. I am back, Sean, to being an arrogant Astros fan. It's great to be back and to bask in the glory knowing that you are better than other people because of where you live and the baseball team that plays there. It's fun. And I like looking at this series that starts this weekend against the Angels, who have Mike Trout and who have Shohei Ohtani, and thinking to myself, this series doesn't matter. I love being back in this mindset. I remember before I went to Seattle, I actually tweeted out, there's this guy named Softy that worked at our competitor. And I had tweeted out one day when the Mariners were getting frisky and feeling good about themselves because they were in the playoff chase. And I was like, imagine being these losers. And Softy was like, how dare you disrespect us for enjoying this season? I was like, well, there's no point to it. There's no point. You don't matter. Like, just go back, go get your shine box. It's fine. Just sit there and wait for us to take our baseball bat, Billy Bat style, to your face. Okay? Just wait. Just wait your turn. We'll get there eventually. Okay? Great. That's how I feel going into this weekend series against the Angels. Some people are talking them up a little bit this offseason. Is it really going to happen this time around? Do you really look at the Angels as a team to be respected? Obviously not feared. We don't fear anything. We're the Astros. But do you look at the Angels with anything more than a one-second glance before you get back to your day? That's where I'm at. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Akalon says on Twitter, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Up next, we're going to take a look at some of the richest owners in sports and try to figure out what teams that they own entirely based off of their names. I'm going to put Sean Mapes on the spot. A little quiz here, and we'll continue our Astros overs unders next.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
More texts in for the Texans Ring of Honor, an exceptionally sarcastic Ring of Honor, 713-780 ESPN. Xbox should be in the Ring of Honor. It's Tall Cal, all he knows. Oh, boy. Yeah. Listen, you can learn something from playing Xbox. As someone who took in a 32-team league online Madden Dynasty, the Kansas City Chiefs with Terrell Pryor as starting quarterback to the Super Bowl, showed me that I knew what I was doing as a general manager. And that's why I'm one of the best football minds in Houston. Sure, I didn't play in the NFL, but as a flag football and Madden legend, who else are you turning to? Huh? Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her family. Your father passed away, and we're looking forward to her returning, and I'm sure you guys are. Paul's dropping all these terrible songs on us. Oh, boy. Paul is going off and riffing about the Texans' sarcastic Ring of Honor. We got a couple for Tony Baselli. That didn't work out so well, did it? David Carr, definitely not. A bag of David Carr for all the sacks? Huh? Maybe? I don't know. It's been brutal just continuing to see the list populate, whether it's on Twitch or on Twitter too, at Gallant says. So we're looking at the Masters. Tiger Woods is there. He's wearing a shirt that I believe had a turtleneck at one point, but now it looks like he's just wearing a pink polo. And I saw this from Ocho Texto on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's even right now on his sixth hole. But he apparently dropped the shot right next to the pin. Oh, there it is, right on ESPN. Holy crap. Yeah, Tiger's back, guys. That was awesome. And they're showing the replay of it. I guess this took place a little bit ago. And from the sound of things on Twitch, I guess he shanked another shot afterwards. But we got Tiger hitting some awesome shots. And yeah, it's like a he's wearing this weird shirt that's both a t-shirt, but it's got a long neck to it. I don't really know what's going on here. It is certainly pink. That is for sure. Tiger on the prowl. All right, Sean, let's play a game. You ready for this? I'm going to list you names of some of the 10 richest owners in sports. There are some Americans on this list. We ain't naming them. You're going to have to guess what these guys own. Number two, the second richest sports owner in the world. His name, with a net worth of $90.7 billion, is Mukesh Ambani.
I'm going to get probably a soccer team. I'm going to go out there and guess. Because I don't know any NFL owners named Mamesh, any NBA owners. So I'd guess he owns like Tottenham or something.
Actually, it is the owner of a cricket team. Mukesh Ambani owns the Mumbai Indians.
Oh, they should change their name.
Well, I don't think it's cancelable for them, right? Because it's essentially the same thing as the Houston Texans, right? I mean, we're talking about people from a country.
You know what? They are cricket. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. What, they're from Mumbai. So
right.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. So
God,
they get a pass.
I got to cancel you for that, Sean.
I'm getting canceled for canceling them?
Yeah.
A false cancellation?
So they are owned by Ambani's Reliance Industries, wherever the hell that is. Okay. This one's going to be a little bit easier.
Okay.
The third most wealthy owner in the sports world, Francois Pinault. Francois Pinault.
The Montreal Canadiens.
No, come on. You got to go to France.
PSG?
No, not PSG. You would have thought that. I thought that too. No. So apparently this guy owns like the third most relevant soccer team in France. Lyon, Paris Saint-Germain are the number one and number two. Number two and number one, respectively. I said it in the wrong order. Stade Rennais FC. And Francois Pinault, he is worth $40.4 billion. Here's another one. I guess technically this guy's American. Number four, the fourth richest owner in all of sports. Dietrich Mateschitz.
Why is he technically American?
You'll find out in a moment.
Okay, okay.
So what sport, so that rules out soccer, right, don't you think? It rules out soccer. I'm not trying to trick you here. That rules out soccer. I'm just saying, like,
so it's an American sports team.
Yes. It's a couple of American sports teams, in fact.
Dietrich, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No! He owns Red Bull Racing, the New York Red Bulls, and RB Leipzig, which I guess is a soccer
team. He owns Red Bull.
Yes! There you go. Or at least he owns these entities of Red Bull.
He's like the CEO of Red Bull or something?
Yeah, he's number four. I was surprised. So Steve Ballmer's number one. Daniel Gilbert is number five, and he's lost.
Wow.
But over a year, he's lost 58% of his worth.
Dang.
I know.
And he's still number four or five?
Yeah, he's still number five.
Wow.
And he's lost 58% of his worth in 1 year.
He does the loans, right?
Right.
Or mortgages.
Rocket companies, yeah. Okay. We're going through the richest owners in sports, and you have to guess entirely based off of the name. Masayoshi Son.
The Nippon Ham Fighters.
Well, I think he actually used to own the Nippon Hawks.
Oh.
I can't tell. I don't know if they've changed their name. I think you're right in that it's Nippon, but it's not the Nippon Ham Fighters. It's the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks. So I guess that they've just gotten rid of the whole Nippon.
Because I think how they do it is that the team name is like branded.
Okay.
So it's like a company name.
That makes a lot more sense. So there you go. Those are
wow.
Owners of non-American sports teams traditionally.
That was basically me racially profiling people based off their name.
Right. I'm getting you back for not wanting to play my song. It's fine. I'm not throwing you under the bus at all. Well, listen, I think it's sometimes it's interesting to guess where some of these people are
from. I was hoping for an NBA owner or someone whose name I've heard before.
Well, there were some on this list. So as far as the actual American, and it really goes to show you, like, the NFL owners, they're not that rich, all things considered. As far as Americans go, Steve Cohen was number 7. I was surprised. I thought he would be a lot more than that.
Yeah, I was waiting for his name, yeah.
David Tepper's 8. He's the number 1 for NFL owners, and it's by a significant margin, too.
I guess, like, new money, so he just bought a team, so he has a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, he's worth $16.7 billion. Robert Parra of the Memphis Grizzlies, that's a surprising one, right? Like, the Memphis Grizzlies owner, I'm guessing that he's got something to do with FedEx or something like that. And then afterwards, you've got, at the very bottom, Philip Anschutz, who is the owner of the Kings and the LA Galaxy, which is, like, of all teams, like, what? Okay. Interesting. So these are the toys that rich people play with. And now you know the rest of the story. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can tweet me at Gallant Says as well. Astros over unders. Some more for you. So we gave you one for Alex Bregman already. Is Alex Bregman going to play in, let's say, 130 games, given the way that the last 2 years have gone? Jose Altuve, we did OPS of 850. Kyle Tucker, slugging percentage of 600. That would have had him in the top 4 of baseball last year, and last year he was 9th at 557. I guess if you really believe that Tucker might be MVP this season, I think you have to say over. And I honestly don't know the answer to this. I mean, 9th is pretty damn good. Can he go up a little bit further after having a career season last year? I actually think that's possible. But I'll believe it when I see it, I guess, is what I have to say. I'm not going to stick my neck out for that one. Jordan Alvarez, over under 40 home runs. Last year, in 144 games, he had 33. With DHs across baseball, you would think that he would play in just about every game. Although we did see that, I guess there's a chance that he might play some left field this season. That was from an interview that took place earlier. And I love Sean because Sean knows when my ADD ramblings go towards an audio cut that I need to get. Like, he does a really good job of keeping track of my messiness. But Todd Callis was on yesterday with the Wheelhouse and said that you might see Jordan in left field. I was surprised to hear that.
I think he's going to play a lot more outfield than he saw last year. He made a great catch in our last game on the spring on Monday. He's a guy that will probably get close to equal reps in left field as Michael Brantley. We're not sure how it's going to play out, but Dusty definitely played Jordan a lot more in left field than Michael in spring training. So as opposed to a guy last year who played maybe 35, 40 games in left field, you're going to see a guy who's probably going to play more than 50 games in left field and be more of a split with Michael Brantley than we've seen in the past. And he's not a liability out there. I'm telling you what, his range from last year got better as the year went along as he felt more and more confident on those knees. And now that he's more than a year removed from having surgery on both knees, he's moving great out there. I could see Jordan being a big factor and not even a liability in the outfield, but a guy that can play a very solid left field based on what I saw this spring.
Obviously, he's wearing the blue and orange sunglasses as the Astros play-by-play guy, but at the same time, he's actually there. How many people are? And if you feel that confident about his range in left field, okay, I'm intrigued by the idea of using him out there from time to time. One more Astros over-under before we turn it over to the last segment of the show, and this one has to do with pitching. Lance McCullers, who started 28 games last year, over under 20 starts. I think it's going to be under. I feel like he's going to be out until like June, like mid-June. And it's not the end of the world if he's out until mid-June, by the way. I mean, what's the point of having Jake Odorizzi, even if you don't trust him, if not to, you know, be a nice little stopgap in the short term for Justin Verlander before and now for Lance McCullers? So we'll keep that going. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Astros opening day. Do you respect the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? And who is making it into your sarcastic Texans Ring of Honor? All of that's on the table. Been having a lot of fun this morning. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family after her father passed away. And, man, some really sweet messages y'all have been sending over the last couple. It means a lot to her. It means a lot to me that you're sending them, too. Hopefully, she will be back soon. But, again, we're not putting any rush on her. That's just an absolutely tragic thing that took place. So, right now, it's just me and Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 is how you chime in to text. You can also chime in to tweet as well, at Gallant Says. Some really funny nominees to the text and sarcastic Ring of Honor. Another one, this one from the text line. Cortland Finnegan's jaw. I like that. Left on the field at NRG Stadium. Never to leave again. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are going to be hosting the Astros tonight for opening day. And I do wonder about how seriously I should take the Angels. I don't take them very seriously at all. But there's got to be some people out there that feel that way, right? Like some people that are a lot more on top of baseball. I'll not even admit I am. But on Twitter, I was surprised by the response. I mean, we're talking 80% with 137 votes saying no, not concerned about the Angels at all. And I know that some of the people that were voting on this on Twitter too are Mariners fans. I think the Mariners already feel like they've leapfrogged the Angels, and maybe they have. I don't know. They're definitely trending in the right direction, but that's something. You sort of just forget about the Angels, even though they have two of baseball's best players in Shohei Ohtani and in Mike Trout. No matter what their wins above replacement are, you're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm not really that scared of them. Maybe I'm scared when they're at, but am I looking at Noah Syndergaard and thinking to myself, this guy's going to have such an incredible year, gets back to, you know, the kind of pitcher that he used to be and is spearheading all of a sudden an Angels resurgence like it's 2002 and David Eckstein still on the team? Nah, I don't see it happening. But the sarcastic Ring of Honor talk has been a lot of fun. 713-780-3776. The old turf should be in the Ring of Honor. Oh, that's a great one. I think there's a Twitter handle that's NRG Stadium Grass. I don't know if he's changed his handle. I've seen him out there a couple of times. That system was so bleeping dumb. I mean, I get it. It was 2002, and maybe you didn't think that it would be possible to leave grass out and have the grass not get, I don't know, like some sort of pollen in it where all of a sudden it turns into just a weed field of like weeds and stuff. But the Cardinal Stadium in Glendale wasn't built too long after NRG Stadium, and they devised this system where you could actually have grass essentially on what is a really, really large field on wheels. You could have it essentially wheeled in on rails into the stadium. I mean, it's amazing technology. So they could grow it out in the sun, and then they had natural grass inside. But the Texans decided, no, we're going to do grass the same way that basketball teams do their arena floors, where we're going to essentially turn it into just a grid system of bricks that aren't very big of pallet grass. And I remember once being on the field before the game, and they stopped letting us go on the field before the game after a short amount of time after this took place. But I remember Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels were walking on the field one day in their dress shoes, and they were like, yo, this field is a dump. It is an absolute dump. And I saw that, and I was like, yeah, it is. It's pretty bad. And then Jadeveon Clowney's knee got messed up in his first game because he landed awkwardly in between one of them. And I remember when I was in the locker room with Will Grubb, who used to be a really good Texans reporter before he was like, screw this, I'm going to make money, and went to go become a lawyer. I remember we would go in the locker room to report on the Texans. And what we always did, we would just, if we were in doubt about anything, we would go to DJ Swearinger. because DJ Swearinger would just tell us everything. And he would put his name on it, too. Like, he wasn't hiding any of it. And he's like, oh, yeah, Jadeveon stepped in the middle of the pallet. Yeah, messed his knee up. And it's funny because I think that Brett Hartman was in the midst of a lawsuit against the Texans for the exact same thing. And then they finally changed to field turf not too long afterwards. And then I think they changed their indoor practice bubble to that, too. Yeah, that pallet grass stuff definitely belongs in the Texans Ring of Honor. You could go all day on that. The Rosencopter, yeah. That's an NFT, though. The Rosencopter should be an NFT, and it should be just playing at all times outside the stadium. And it would be kind of funny if they got some sort of, I don't know, a drone that comes into the stadium every day, and the propeller is just like an action figure of Sage Rosenfels.
Or you can build like a statue where it like twists, you know, or, you know, it has the motion to it.
Right, before he fumbles, Sean. Before the fumble. God, they were winning that game. And the Colts returned that fumble for a touchdown. I know if Vanessa was here, she would be cackling. She was like, yeah, that was a great moment in American history. Another text. Arian Foster's vegan hamstring. Right. Because his real hamstring didn't work out so well. The sarcastic Texans Ring of Honor. Another one says the Rosencopter. Yeah. Gotta be. Anything else? There is a second stadium for the grasses, Dick Willie. I don't know about that. It's the NRJ Trays. That's what I thought it was. I don't think that they've actually gone to anything else or tried anything else where it was like rolled into the stadium or something like that. Keeping an eye on Tiger Woods at the Masters. And where is Tiger Woods at right now? We did see him drop an absolutely beautiful shot not too long ago. And it's funny, you know, baseball with their back and forth. You could argue that it's a very fair possibility that opening day will be outshined by a good round at the Masters from Tiger. So, guess what? And again, it's very early. There's not everyone golfing at this point in time. But Tiger, through seven, is one under. That puts him in a tie for second place. Huh? Not bad. Not bad at all. That gets me pretty excited. That'll be fun to watch this weekend. And yeah, we might not be talking about golf at all tomorrow. Watch Tiger Woods like lead the Masters after his first round back. An Astros baseball back burner. It's only different here. This is one of a few cities where you probably can't do that. But I am definitely excited for tonight's game. One last Astros over-under that I wanted to do. Mega Blast. Jesus, most of the golfers haven't even started yet. Shut up. Shaking my head. I don't care. Tiger Woods is winning, guys. That's the CBS theme when they go between holes. It's much better than the Masters theme, which is like the piano where Jim Nance gets all schmaltzy and starts talking to you like you're in bed with him. An event unlike any other. The one last one that I wanted to do, and I think this one's going to be a really difficult one to determine for Astros over-unders. Justin Verlander, I did with 200-plus innings pitched. Baseball Paul will tell you, well, Justin Verlander, he pitched 214 innings in 2019 and just six in 2020. After in 2018, he had 223. So I'm saying 200 innings pitched. I think that's good. I don't think you're going to be keeping Verlander in games as long as you have in the past. Like the 7-inning games, the 8-inning games. I love when a starter goes out there for a borderline complete game, but it seems like that's just going to be a thing of the past going forward, where especially in the regular season, you're thinking to yourself, no, I want this guy at his best. Give him two runs through the lineup, maybe a third run, but you don't want to give him too many runs against the lineup because, you know, usually the third time around, you have a pretty good feel for, as a hitter, what's going to be coming from Verlander. And especially if Verlander's velocity is down even a little bit, maybe they're going to be able to turn on it by the third time a little bit more easily. It's one of the rationales that was given as to why the Rays took Blake Snell out of that World Series game. Still one I can't really get behind, but I get why pitchers are being taken out of games earlier. And I do wonder if Verlander is going to throw a lot of 6-7-inning games over the course of this season. If I were the Astros, I would definitely try not to do that over the course of the year. Stay away from that and be careful with Lance McCullers. You got Jake Odorizzi as your long reliever guy,
if he's not going to be your starter for the entire season, then it really depends on when Lance McCullers actually comes back. So, looking forward to tonight's game against the Angels. I don't take them seriously. I look down on them. And I feel like we're looking at a sweep. 162-0, baby. It's going to happen. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter. I am merely Paul Gallant. Again, no Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family. After her father passed away, we're thinking about her and the Richardson family as well. We wrap up this week tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Vanessa and Gallant be back with us for that. Until then, so long, farewell. The Killer Bees are next.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville. Calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.